I think it's really important to remember, with respect to the genesis of this report, that it was resisted mightily, as John has already said, by the administration. Dick Cheney at first said that if there were any kind of commission like this, the White House might refuse to send anyone over to testify. And then when it was the pressure grew for some kind of inquiry into this terrible event, he acquiesced, or he and Bush acquiesced, in the appointment of a joint congressional committee because Cheney saw that he could control that through his cat's paw, Porter Goss, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, and indeed he did so most flagrantly when there was a leak, not necessarily from the committee, but Cheney persuaded Goss and Bob Graham to send the FBI in, an unprecedented violation of separation of powers, having the FBI, part of the administrative, the executive branch, investigate committees of Congress. Committees, by the way, responsible for overseeing the activities of the FBI. Negotiations with the White House went well into the evening, and we failed. We failed to get White House and Central Intelligence Agency approval to mention anything in this report, anything having to do with what the president was told prior to 9/11. Even if that information is already publicly available, we were forbidden to include that in our report, okay? And indeed, when the report came out at the end of the year, not a word on that. Continuity? Look at the Senate Intelligence Committee report 2 weeks ago. Same thing. They draw the line at what the president did with the intelligence information that he had. So this is a very important point, because if you don't look into this, then nobody's responsible. Harry Truman said the buck stops here. Well, that seems to have been long forgotten by President Bush, who says he really respects Harry Truman. There is no accountability. The president has said that he's never, well, he can't recall ever having made a mistake. Well, let me tell you, folks, that filters right down to the lowest GS3 working in the federal system. And that kind of example is what causes things like the incredible malfeasance and misfeasance that attended the intelligence and law enforcement performance having to do with 9/11. Everyone on that commission looks exactly like me. Except one woman. All are either lawyers or politicians. Some are both. My grandma used to talk about the upper crust. Well, that's what we have here. The ruling class, the royal class. Reminds me very much of Lord Hutton and Lord Butler. Both of whom ran their own inquiries and came up with the correct answer. Correct answer being, mistakes were made. It's a collective sort of problem. No one individual is responsible. That leads to disaster, as we have seen. The last thing is I've stressed that no one on the commission knew anything about intelligence. Let me just finish up by expressing what I think is going to be very interesting. No one here, I think, has read the report yet, but in view of what I've said about information being prohibited with respect to what the president knew before 9/11, it's going to be very interesting to see how the commission finesses this problem. Now, it's thoroughly politicized, the commission. It's acutely partisan. So how are they going to parse this? How are they going to face this very delicate issue? We all know that the president was given copious warnings before 9/11, in the spring and summer of 2001. And how are they going to finesse that with the reality that neither the president nor his national security advisor knew what to do? Could he not have delayed his vacation a day or two? Could he not have gotten together with his national security advisor? Could they not have warned the airlines and the airports in a more definitive way? So it's going to be very interesting to see how they come out on that. But that's where it hits the fan. if you wish to combat terrorism, well, it's just like, you know, just like defeating malaria. Everyone knows that to defeat malaria, you set up sharpshooters around the swamp and you try to kill as many mosquitoes as you can flying out of the swamp. That's how you defeat malaria, right?
Right.
Well, how do you defeat terrorism, folks? You don't defeat them the Rumsfeld way by killing as many as you can. You defeat them by asking, what makes these people hate us? What makes these people hate us? And it's not our democracy, and it's not our freedom. It's our policy, stupid. It's our policy. It's our tanks. It's our helicopter gunships that are bulldozing Palestinian homes. It's our tanks that support Ariel Sharon. The Arabs feel real strongly about that. And I would, too. And that's the basic one. Invading Iraq certainly didn't help. And Ariel Sharon is as much responsible for that decision and his supporters in our government as is anyone else. Because, as you probably know, if you look closely, the so-called neocons have great difficulty distinguishing between what they perceive to be the strategic vision, the strategic needs of Israel, and the strategic needs of our country. Thank you very much. Well, how do you defeat terrorism, folks? You don't defeat them the Rumsfeld way by killing as many as you can. You defeat them by asking, what makes these people hate us? What makes these people hate us? And it's not our democracy, and it's not our freedom. It's our policy, stupid.